And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This public service program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Following the dramatization, you will hear a brief talk by Dr. Solomon Grayzel, president of the Jewish Book Council of America. Today's story, written by Morton Wishengrad, deals with the struggle to remove civil and political disabilities in the state of Maryland during the second decade of the last century. Ian McAllister is featured in the role of Thomas Kennedy.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, who hast kept us in life and sustained us unto this day. A prayer of thanksgiving. Offer thanksgiving on this day for the uniqueness of America. Offer thanksgiving for the nameless heroes who took the words of the fine declarations and believed them and fought to make the word a deed. Offer thanksgiving to the memory of men who were not ashamed to be good, who sought no refuge in cynicism, who did not fear to stand alone. Listen, this is your story. ...1818, the House of Delegates, Annapolis, Maryland. The Clerk of the House.
Mr. Speaker, I have the credentials of the elected member from Washington County.
Are they in order, Mr. Clerk?
They are, Mr. Speaker.
His name, if you please.
The Honorable Thomas Kennedy.
Come forward, Mr. Kennedy, and take the oath.
Do you, Thomas Kennedy, solemnly swear or affirm that you will protect and defend the Constitution of the State of Maryland?
I do.
Upon the true faith of a Christian?
Complete the oath, Mr. Kennedy.
I should like to, Mr. Speaker, but I'm rather troubled by the form of the oath.
I was not aware that there is anything in the oath to cause difficulty. Mr. Clerk, are you troubled?
Not at all, Mr. Speaker.
Proceed, then. Unless Mr. Kennedy is not a Christian.
Mr. Speaker, I were born in Scotland. The section which I was bred is a Presbyterian church. I have no doubt a person may get to heaven that way.
We are gratified to hear you say that, Mr. Kennedy. But let us get on with the oath, shall we?
Mr. Speaker, Article 6 of the Constitution declares, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any public office or public trust under the United States.
You are asked to uphold the Constitution of the State of Maryland. I might inform the gentleman from Washington County that the Constitution of Maryland is older than the Constitution of the United States.
This oath of office makes it impossible for citizens who are not Christian to be seated here.
Mr. Kennedy, I was not aware that Jews and Mohammedans are numerous in your constituency.
Sir, is it the custom of this body to insult new delegates?
Not at all, Mr. Kennedy. I was merely making an observation.
There is not a single Jew resident in Washington County. In fact, I have not met a single Jew in Maryland.
Then in heaven's name, take the oath and be done.
Exactly, Mr. Kennedy. Take the oath and be done.
I cannot, Mr. Speaker.
Why not?
Because I'm an American and a Christian. Article 6, Mr. Speaker, of the United States Constitution. Chapter 25, verse 10 of the third book of the Bible. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof.
Mr. Kennedy, I ask you again, do you swear to the oath?
You ask me to hold my hand on the Bible. The Bible that declares the oath to be false and injurious.
Mr. Clerk, you will proceed with the next order of business. Mr. Kennedy does not take the oath. Mr. Kennedy is not a member of this legislature.
Incident in the House of Delegates in the town of Annapolis, Maryland, in the year 1818. But an incident that was not closed. It could not be closed. But a man called Jefferson had said, "We are not to expect to be translated from despotism to liberty in a feather bed." Jefferson said it, and Thomas Kennedy was of the party of Jefferson. The incident was not closed. Now, Thomas Kennedy received a visitor.
The name is Sullivan, Mr. Kennedy. Jeremiah T. Sullivan.
And what can I do for you, sir?
Go back to the House of Delegates and take the oath.
Mr. Sullivan, I don't know why you came. I don't know who sent you, but I'll trouble you to mind your own business.
Spoken like a man. A fine temper like that, and you're not Irish. What a pity. You ask me to mind my own business.
I do, Mr. Sullivan.
This is my business. It wasn't so many years ago a Catholic couldn't sit in the House of Delegates. Did you know that now?
Yes, I do. What do you think I'm trying to do?
Kennedy, in Maryland before the Revolution, a Catholic, because he was a Catholic, paid twice the land tax. A Catholic servant from Ireland paid a tax of 20 shillings. If a Catholic man died, the law said that his children could be taken from the widow. You see, Mr. Kennedy, I am minding my own business now.
It's not altogether clear, Mr. Sullivan.
I'm coming to the point. Why did it take so many years to change the law?
You tell me.
I'll do that. Because laws are written and changed in the legislature. You can't change a law when you don't sit in the legislature.
That's why you want me to take the oath?
That's why.
That's a good reason, Mr. Sullivan.
Think it over.
All right, Mr. Sullivan. I'll think it over.
I'll shake your hand now. Oh, one more thing.
Yes, Sullivan.
Kennedy. That's a fine name.
Now, thank you.
You're sure now?
Sure. Sure of what?
Was it Scotland you really came from and not Ireland? Kennedy, are you sure?
Proceed, Mr. Clerk.
Do you, Thomas Kennedy, solemnly swear or affirm that you will protect and defend the Constitution of the State of Maryland?
I do.
Upon the true faith of a Christian?
Upon the true faith of a Christian.
I congratulate you, Mr. Kennedy, on your good sense.
Mr. Speaker.
Yes, you have the floor.
I offer a resolution.
What is your resolution, Mr. Kennedy?
I offer a resolution calling for the appointment of a committee to consider placing all citizens on an equal footing in this state.
Order! Order! Order!
The gentleman from Washington County is entirely out of order.
If Mr. Kennedy doesn't like Maryland, let him return to Scotland.
The question is out of order.
Mr. Speaker, I ask you to put the resolution before the House.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
I protest, sir. There is a question before the House. The motion to adjourn is out of order.
Mr. Kennedy, You are new in this body and entitled to your ignorance. I must inform you that a motion to adjourn is never out of order.
I rise on a point of special privilege.
What is your point, Mr. Breckinridge?
I confess to a sense of shame. Mr. Speaker, gentlemen of the House of Delegates, we may abuse Mr. Kennedy here, but we abuse ourselves more. This is the legislature of the people of Maryland. Mr. Kennedy is entitled to an honorable hearing. He's entitled to our courtesy. He's entitled to every privilege of this legislature. I appeal to your sense of decency.
Mr. Speaker, motion to adjourn.
The motion is to adjourn. All those in favor will say aye.
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 Only three for adjournment. Apparently, there is no need to call for the negative. The House of Delegates remains in session. Mr. Clerk, the roll call on the resolution.
The resolution carried. A first small step in a Maryland incident. A committee of three was appointed to report. On December the 9th, 1818, Thomas Kennedy rose before the House of Delegates.
Your committee introduces a bill. A bill entitled, An Act to Extend to Those Professing the Jewish Religion the Same Rights and Privileges that Are Enjoyed by Christians.
Incident in the Maryland legislature. And an incident which was not closed. The bill was defeated. Yes, Jefferson was right. We are not to expect to be translated from despotism to liberty in a feather bed. During the session of the legislature in the following year, once again the bill was introduced. And once again it was defeated. Kennedy and Breckinridge continued the work of the committee.
Mr. Kennedy, I believe you've already met Mr. Sullivan.
He's practically married to me, Mr. Breckinridge. He can't forgive me because I'm not somebody else's wife.
Will you be seated, sir?
That I will.
Sullivan, Mr. Breckinridge tells me you're not happy over the bill I've introduced.
You're right there. I don't like it.
You're a hard man to please, Sullivan.
It's the Dublin blood in me.
I'm trying to remove the religious test, Sullivan. I thought that was what we both wanted.
Sure. But your bill does not remove the religious test.
What in heaven's name does it do?
It substitutes tolerance for intolerance.
Good Lord, and is there anything wrong with that?
Sure.
How?
Tolerance is no virtue, Mr. Kennedy. A man tolerates the other fellow when he thinks the other fellow is less than he. I think tolerance is a rotten word.
Yes. You have something there, Sullivan.
The Maryland legislature can't give me permission to worship God as a Catholic. I'd spit clean in their eye. They can't give Breckinridge here permission to worship as an Episcopalian. And they can't give my good friend Captain Reuben Etting permission to worship as a Jew. Because when did the Maryland legislature last speak to God?
You're absolutely right, Sullivan. What do you propose?
Take out the word Jew from your bill. Put the word all in its place.
Breckinridge, do you agree?
You better go slow, Kennedy. You'll be attacked as irreligious.
I won't let them. Religion is in my bones. It's in the Declaration of Independence. It's in the American Constitution. Breckinridge, I'm a religious man. Government without the spirit of religion is like a bird without wings. But by heaven, we're not going to allow the legislature to make a political club out of religion.
Kennedy, now don't deceive a believing man. Are you sure it's Scotland you come from?
Thomas Kennedy amended his bill. For the third time, the bill came before the House of Delegates. And For the third time, the bill was defeated. Then Thomas Kennedy returned to Washington County to stand for re-election. Now, he was a marked man.
I tell you, Tom Kennedy wants to strike from our laws the last protection of true religion. This bill is the spawn of the devil. That's what it is. Where did he come from? Scotland, a country flooded with infidels. And I tell you where he's not going. He's not going back to the legislature.
They're good for you, Galloway. Give him both barrels.
I tell the people of Washington County. I tell you, Tom Kennedy is half Jew. And the other half ain't Christian. Shut up, Galloway.
Hey, who's that?
Shucks, I don't mind that. He's Kennedy's man. And what do you expect from a pig but a grunt?
He's not my man, Galloway.
I don't need anyone to talk for me. Mr. Gabby, you can put down that shotgun. I've got no weapons on me. You too, Joe Merrick. It seems to me our state has been advancing backwards for a long time. We seem to get one day older and 2 days worse.
Kennedy, I don't like you, and I don't like your bill.
Mr. Galloway, that's your inalienable right as an American.
Now, get out.
I'll say what I have to first.
I say get out.
Let him talk, Galloway.
Thank you. I want you to understand that I'm against the religious test because I'm an American. That test reminds me that I'm a Protestant and that another man is a Catholic. That test divides us. That test justifies the Massachusetts Puritans who drove out the Quakers. That test justifies the Virginia bigots who drove out the Catholics.
Are you done, Mr. Kennedy?
No, I'm not done. Galloway, go home and pick up your Bible and show me one word in it that justifies the proscription of any man because of his religious sentiment.
Kennedy, don't tell me to read the Bible.
Galloway, at Christmas time you say goodwill to men. To what men? Galloway, it's either to all men or to no men.
Kennedy, now, we've heard enough.
No, no, you haven't. You can't take a religion which flames with justice and make it an excuse for bigotry. You can't use it to cover the narrowness of your own heart. All right, Galloway, it's your meeting.
Washington County voted. And Thomas Kennedy was defeated for re-election. But in the other counties of Maryland, there were also changes. From Frederick County and Montgomery, from Carroll and Prince George counties, from Calvert and St. Mary's and Dorchester counties, there were also new faces in the House of Delegates. For 1 year, Thomas Kennedy remained at home, and he carried the fight to his own constituency.
Kennedy, there's a new speaker in the House. They say he wants you back.
I'll be back. Come on, we've got work. I read to you from the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Kennedy, what's Jefferson got to do with it?
Listen. Our civil rights have no dependence on our religious profession any more than our opinions in physics or geometry. People of Washington County, we've got to prove to the whole world that it's wrong for men to have only enough religion to hate.
Citizens of Washington County returned Thomas Kennedy to the Maryland legislature. Once again, he stood before the speaker's table in the House of Delegates.
I speak as an American citizen. I beg leave only to remind this House that the honors of office in our republic are not assumed, but conferred, not usurped.
but bestowed by popular confidence. I say to you that to disqualify any class of citizens is for the people to disqualify themselves. This same principle of disqualification stains nations, tramples the charities of life, places arms in the hands of men for bloody war.
Mr. Kennedy, it is not expedient to make innovations in the Constitution of Maryland.
Sir, that is the language of prejudice. The American people were an innovation. The sun that shines each day is each day's innovation.
I am not convinced. Mr. Speaker, I say to the gentleman from Washington County that no man has a right to complain of being excluded from office if he does not conform to the prevailing religious sentiment of the state.
Answer that, Kennedy.
I do. What sort of God do you worship? Is the God you worship a fool? Does the smell of your persecution rise up to him as incense? I tell you again, opinion should be answered by opinion. Religion is the opinion of a man's conscience. The interposition of the state in matters of opinion is improper.
All right, Kennedy. Suppose we do exercise the compulsion. It's mild enough. We don't molest anyone.
It's not the degree of compulsion, sir, which renders it improper. The act of interposing your authority is improper. Religion is a matter between man and his God. Gentlemen, this is the right of conscience, which is so badly understood throughout the world, and which I regret to say is so little understood here.
Gentlemen, this debate has taken up too much of the legislature's time.
Sir, the only way to close the debate is to vote for the bill.
Call the question, Mr. Speaker. Yes, sir. Call the
question. Gentlemen, the bill before the House of Delegates is to amend the Constitution by extending to all the citizens of Maryland the same civil rights and religious privileges that were enjoyed by all under the Constitution of the United States. Mr. Clerk, you may proceed with the roll call. Gentlemen, the question. Shall we pass the bill?
Harris?
No.
Gant?
No.
Garner?
No.
Grubb?
No.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Hewlett?
No.
Hilger?
Yes.
Kennedy?
Yes.
Banning?
No.
Hawkins?
Yes.
Welsh?
Yes.
Millard?
Yes.
Wick?
Yes.
Estep?
Yes.
Brooke?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Chapman?
Yes.
Sims?
Yes.
Rogerson?
Yes.
February 26, 1826. Thomas Kennedy's bill carried by the Maryland House of Delegates. Incident in the history of the American people. But the incident is not closed. The incident never closes. Every generation must make its own fight for freedom. Every generation in every age.
Lord, who shall dwell in thy tabernacle? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Even he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord.
A prayer of thanksgiving. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who hast kept us in life and sustained us unto this day. Yes, a prayer of thanksgiving.
copies of the script you have just heard and the talk which immediately follows may be obtained free of cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we present Dr. Solomon Grazel, President of the Jewish Book Council of America, speaking from Philadelphia.
Dramatized depicts America in one of its heroic moments. From Thomas Jefferson presenting the Declaration of Independence to Franklin D. Roosevelt calling for the attainment of the four freedoms, the history of our nation is full of such occasions which have made America what it is. Each of these moments in the story of our people was different in motivation and immediate aim, but all had the same ultimate goal, the attainment of a better, nobler, and freer life, a stronger, more united, happier people, a more idealistic, liberty-loving, hope-inspiring America. It could not well be otherwise. The men and women who came here from every part of the world brought an adventurous spirit and a soaring imagination, else they would not have uprooted themselves from their old homes. All of them sought opportunities for personal happiness denied them in the place of their birth. They found here a land blessed with milk and honey, a country as broad as their hopes and as beautiful as their fairest dreams. Out of all this, a nation was born. Not only the great, rich, and powerful America, but also the magnificent ideal we call Americanism, an essential part of which has been the striving after unity and human brotherhood as against group conflicts and prejudices. Some of those who came here unfortunately brought their prejudices along with their hopes, prejudices which were part of their old restricted life, prejudices based on fears or selfishness or narrow intellectual horizons or blind sectarian domination. Against these, the Kennedys and the Sullivans of every generation, sooner or later, armed with Americanism, won the day. Our generation must continue the struggle, for liberty cannot stand still. It either expands or it withers. And prejudice is a treacherous enemy. It is either fought unremittingly or it returns and attacks with redoubled fury. Even our battle for political freedom is not yet fully won, since there are still lingering prejudices founded on color and creed. It would, however, be a mistake to assume that the struggle for true Americanism need be carried on only in legislative halls. Un-American prejudice must be fought wherever it is met, in offices and factories, in schools and in homes and in churches, by word of mouth and by the pen, through instruction and personal example. None dare be neutral in this fight for the soul of America. At this Thanksgiving season, the heart of every American is filled with gratitude, especially for the victory which has been granted America against those forces in the world which were the incarnation of inhuman prejudice in its ugliest form. It is well at this time to give thought to the future and pray that we never forget the divine gifts which have molded America, the many strains and faiths which have cooperated in its physical building, and the high ideals to which it is dedicated forever.
The Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. Featured as Thomas Kennedy was Ian McAllister. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music, and the entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This is the National Broadcasting Company.